Hi, I'm Stephanie Kelton.
And I'm Jeremy Olshan. We're the hosts of the new podcast from MarketWatch, The Best New Ideas in Money.
The pandemic showed many of us that it's possible to work from home, but that's not the only change the workforce has seen.
This week, we're looking at companies who are experimenting with the four-day work week and how it could massively change how we live and work.
Listen to The Best New Ideas in Money, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, February 8th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. After more than a two-year moratorium, people with federal student loans will have to start repaying them come May 1st. That may seem like a long ways away, but with no further extensions currently on the table in Washington, borrowers need to develop a game plan now.
Make sure your address and everything is correct. Make sure you know what your monthly payment will be. You just really have to be on top of this.
On today's show, WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk will take us through the steps that student loan borrowers can start taking to get ahead of those monthly student loan bills coming back. That's after the break.
What's important to you? What drives you? What do you want your wealth to do? At PNC Private Bank, we call that your why, and we want to understand yours. Maybe it's creating a legacy, buying a home, or enjoying your retirement. Whatever your goals are, we'll work with you to build a personalized wealth plan to help you achieve it. So tell us, what's your why? To learn more, please visit pnc.com/private bank. Copyright 2021, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved, PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Federal student loan repayments are scheduled to restart on May 1st. That's still more than 2.5 months away, but how can you prepare now for that monthly expense to kick back in after a two-year break? WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk has been covering student loan economics for us, and she's here with some tips. Hey, Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, Cheryl, give us a quick update. There's been talk over the past few weeks about possible student loan forgiveness, maybe even another extension on the repayment moratorium. Anything new on that?
As of now, there is nothing new, but these things can change very quickly. After all, before they did the extension, the government had said it was going to be the last extension, and then, of course, they extended it again through May 1st. So anything's possible, but the point is that because we don't know the future, borrowers really do need a game plan.
Okay, so let's look ahead to May 1st, when loan repayment is scheduled to resume. The economy is a lot different now than it was when people with federal student loans last had to pay them. So what kind of environment are they going to be finding themselves in on the other side?
Well, consider that inflation in December was 7%, and that's compared to 1.5% in March 2020. So obviously costs are up a lot across the board. Just go to the grocery store and you come out with a bill that's, you know, significantly larger than it may have been several months ago. That said, it's possible people got pay raises. You know, there's all different kinds of factors that could affect people, but in general, costs are up across the board, and it may be harder for some people to repay their loans once the extension expires.
Yeah, so given that, what kind of changes in their finances or their daily lives could some people who are still struggling be facing once these payments come back?
Well, there are some obvious steps that some borrowers may have to take. There may be some things they have to do, such as finding a higher paying job, taking on additional work. Some may even resort to selling personal belongings or finding less expensive housing. You could even borrow from family or friends. Definitely, with costs up, it really could become more of a burden to repay these loans for some borrowers.
Okay, so let's talk about some things that people can do to plan ahead and hopefully avoid some of those more drastic measures. What are some initial steps that borrowers could take today to prepare?
Well, you're really going to want to get organized. So you're going to want to make sure your contact information is updated with your loan servicer and on studentaid.gov. You also want to make sure that your repayment options, you want to review your repayment plan options using the Federal Student Loan Simulator tool to see if you might be better off with a different plan. So the simulator allows you to plug in different scenarios, different repayment amounts to see what you, if you're struggling, for example, with your student repayments, you can decide whether you want to temporarily stop payments or lower your monthly payment. You can find out what happens if you borrow more money, or the simulator will also recommend a repayment plan based on the needs and goals that you plug into the simulator.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those options that people might have, you know, who just aren't able to resume making payments like they were before the pandemic. Could, for example, their monthly payment be lowered?
You might be able to lower your monthly payment, and that's by switching to an income-driven repayment plan. And that's based on the size of your family and your income. That's very important. You can use the Federal Student Loan Simulator to figure out whether you might be better off under such a plan. So that's a really important tool that borrowers have. If you aren't eligible for one of those income-driven repayment plans, you can still talk to your servicer to see what other options may exist.
Okay, so who might benefit from looking into something like this?
So there are many people who may be in the position where they have to take extra steps to be able to afford their payments once these payments start up in May, as expected. So a study in November from Bankrate and bestcolleges.com found that 3 in 5 borrowers who earn at least $100,000 a year will need to take some form of additional action to pay down their student debt. That's a pretty big percentage. And that figure actually climbs to 71% for those earning between $50,000 and $99,999 a year, and to 72% for those earning less than that. So it really is many, many borrowers who may have to take additional steps to be able to afford their payments.
Now, I want to ask you about some specific situations that borrowers might find themselves in. Assuming there won't be another extension, will the automatic debit withdrawals just restart on their own in May?
So for most borrowers, the answer is no. Most borrowers are going to need to opt in again, and that's according to federal student aid. So you're really going to want to review your auto debit enrollment or sign up for the service before payments resume. You want to check with your servicer, just make sure that you're still set up for that.
Now, what should people be on the lookout for regarding their interest rate? Is it possible that could have changed in the past 2 years?
So it's possible, but many borrowers are going to have the same interest rate. But that may not be the case if, for example, you consolidated your loans during the pause. So you're going to want to, again, contact your servicer for details about your rate. The real important information at this point for people who are trying to just get themselves organized is to contact your servicer. Make sure auto debt payments are set up. Make sure your address and everything is correct. Make sure you know what your monthly payment will be. You just really have to be on top of this. That's really the game plan that you need at this point. Right now, and you could technically be making payments at this point, but if you're not making payments, just making sure all your ducks are in a row.
Now, what about people whose loans may have gone into default? What do they need to keep in mind?
So at this point, collection activities on defaulted loans, for covered loans that are in default, those activities shouldn't resume until after May 1st. So until then, you shouldn't be worried about getting collection emails or texts or anything in the mail, or having your wages garnished or money taken out of your tax refunds or Social Security benefits. However, the idea that payments are going to resume after May 1st, if you think you're in danger of having your tax refunds garnished, you might want to file your taxes as early as possible, because if you're due a refund and it's paid out before May 1st, that won't be seized.
And how about people's employers? Is there anything that they could do to help people deal with their student loans?
So this is actually a really big area that's a growing area that many, many people just don't know exists. Some employers will help you pay off your student loans. And it's a very good idea to ask your employer whether this is something that the employer offers, because even if the company didn't do it in previous years, it's possibly something that they're doing now or considering. So it's really something that people should ask their employers about. There's also something called the Goodly Jobs Board, which lets job seekers browse job postings from thousands of companies that actually offer these student loan benefits. Employers can actually contribute as much as $5,250 per employee annually towards eligible education expenses. So that's going to include student loan assistance. And that's not going to increase the employee's gross taxable income. So that's, again, a really big benefit that many employers are offering now, whereas they didn't in past years. It's really something that I recommend employees who have student loans ask their employer about.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.